This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
For the 2023-2024 season, the West Ham Way podcast is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Green King Sport's venues are showing every televised West Ham fixture over the course of the season. So instead of turning to the internet for a dodgy stream, get your mates together and go down to your local Green King pub and get closer to the action. Green King Sport have just recently launched the Green King Sport Instagram page, which will be the home to fan content, deals and competitions throughout the season. Drop them a follow and you won't just be the first to know about all this, you'll be helping out the West Ham Way.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WHU employee. This week we talk about our win against Sheffield United, our first clean sheet of the Premier League season, the quality of Jarrod Bowen, the resurrection of Souček and Shufal, the 900th league game for David Moyes, the atmosphere in the stadium, our first pre-match event at the Colour Factory and the games we have this week before getting news from X and answering questions from Patreons of the West Ham Way. Sheffield United at home was a game we expected to win, but looking at some of the other results from the weekend, there aren't any guarantees in the Premier League. So with that said, it was good to get two goals, 3 points and a clean sheet. What did you make of the performance?
I thought first half we were really, really good. I thought we created a lot of chances. I thought the creativity was exciting at times. I mean, look at that first goal. There's a lot of really good interchange there between the midfielders and Shufal and Bowen and so on. Really good goal. I thought we could have had at least maybe three or four others. Of course, they had chances as well, so it wasn't completely one-sided. But I felt we played really well in the first half and a little bit like games gone by. We sort of sat back in the second half and almost like invited a bit more pressure when I think the game was there to have got even more goals. I think we, you know, obviously they're on the back of an 8-0 defeat. I think we could have got at least 4-0. But it seemed like we wanted to take it a bit easy, which I guess is fair enough considering we've got a manic fixture list coming up. So maybe, you know, you come out of that result, you got a 2-0 win. It was comfortable. There was no injuries really, apart from one little one, which I'll talk about later. No real consequences of that game as in, you know, we still got a full fit squad and so on. Got the win, was comfortable, you know, and what was the best thing about that game for me is a couple of players, and I'm guilty of it as well, that have been the butt of criticism recently. I thought were some of the best players. I think Souček is pushing Ward-Prowse for being one of the best players. If you used to choose Hammer of the Year, was ridiculously early, but if you used to choose it now at this point, I mean, between Souček and Ward-Prowse, arguably, with a few other contenders maybe, but I think Souček's been a much better player this year. He looks more, he's so much more involved, he's so much more of a threat. I thought Agüed was really good, made a couple of crucial blocks and tackles, which is really good, and Shufal got another assist from across. So that's three things where people have been criticising, myself included, recently, and it was good that all three of those players managed to put in very good performances as well.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And it's really important to note that. I mean, that first half I thought was great. We started well. I thought the passing, the movement was good. I loved the fact that we pressed them because I think it was a deliberate tactic to realise that Sheffield United in defence lacked quality on the ball. So we really put it on them and it caused so many mistakes from them that created chances from us. And that was really refreshing to see. And it was just one of those games where I think you used the right word, comfortable, really. It was comfortable. And I know you're not big on stats, right? But one of my biggest bugbearers in the past is the lack of times we control the game against teams that are not as good as us on paper. It just needles me. You can live with it if you're getting 23% possession of it in a game, but you're nicking a win and you're getting the 3 points because that's all that matters. But in this game, we had 53% possession, 20 shots and 9 on target. And for me, that's controlling the game. And like I say, we were comfortable. And it was also a game, X, that marked the 900th league match for David Moyes. So you have to congratulate the gaffer on what's been an incredible career. I mean, he was fantastic at Preston, fantastic at Everton. He's had its ups and downs because it was a bit of a disaster at Man United, bit of a disaster in Spain, bit of a disaster in Sunderland, but he's been great for West Ham. So I think it's important to note, despite the ups and downs with the fan base he's had, that we have to congratulate him on so far what's been a really good career.
And I also think the Manchester United one, it's been proven because no one since him has been able to replicate anywhere near the success that Ferguson had there. And he was the first one to step into Ferguson's shoes as the one that Ferguson had pretty much identified. So I think the Manchester United gig was always going to be a poison chalice, and that it was whoever went in there was going to have a tough one. Sunderland at the time weren't exactly, a great team either. Their decline, it was the start of their decline, which seemed them go down to League One. So you can maybe excuse that a little bit as well. Obviously, Spain, a bit different. I don't really know what went on there, but it's always hard if you can't speak the language, I guess, of the country that you're playing in, although obviously other managers have coached. But yeah, I mean, when you look at it, it's been a great career. I would like to know actually the stats on this, but in terms of games managed in the Premier League, he's got to be right up there, right up there. I mean, obviously, he had Ferguson for a long time, but he hasn't managed for, the last sort of 10-ish years now. Obviously, other Wenger would have had a lot, but he hasn't managed for the last 3 or 4. You know, there's got to be managed. He's got to be right up there as one of the managers of the most ever games in the Premier League, I would have thought. So, in terms of that, he definitely deserves respect, and I think he deserves respect because he brought West Ham their first trophy, our first trophy in however many years. We have been in Europe 3 years in a row, which is just a dream come true for most of us. We never would have dreamt of that happening. And we're looking like we're going to have another good season this season as well. So, you know, I think people one day when his time is done and look back and think, he did very well for us.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I mean, that first goal was outstanding, wasn't it? It was an injection of the West Ham way, if you like. It was so exciting, and the man that put it in the back of the net is a man that's on fire, and we all know who he's shagging. 4 goals in 6 games for Jared. I don't want to step on your toes in your section, and I don't know if you were going to talk about this, X, but why have we still not tied up a new contract for him?
Well, that is coming in my section, so I'll speak briefly on it now, but we are trying. But the thing is, with West Ham, which is one of those ongoing frustrations that is always the case with us, we're haggling. So he wants to be one of the highest earners at the club.
Which he should be, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100% should be. Yeah, 100%, because he's our most effective player and probably in the transfer market, maybe alongside Paqueta, our most valuable player as well. So, yeah, 100% he should be. The slight problem West Ham have got where they fucked themselves, for want of a better word, is bringing in Danny Ings and bringing him in on the money that he's on, because that's bumped up what the higher earners are on. And also, when you go into negotiations, Gerrard is rightly going to say, well, if Danny Ings is on that much, I'm clearly more important to this team than he is, then I should be on that at least. And then once you do that, that will take you over Paqueta. So the whole Danny Ings transfer has put a bit of a problem there, but yeah, the bottom line is West Ham need to hurry up, because I think when we were in Liverpool, you know, we talked to those people, and I won't start you off again, but those group of people that you're not overly fond on, and we spoke to a few there, and they were all, and we agreed, saying that they think Bowen is the perfect replacement for Salah, and Salah seems almost destined to go to Saudi Arabia next summer and make an absolute fortune there. So we need to to get him on a deal very quickly. So yeah, I don't know, mate. If I was in charge of West Ham tomorrow, that'd be one of the first things I did, was get him on a long-term contract and make sure that if anyone was going to try and buy him, they'd have to pay a lot of money for him.
Yeah, and a brand new contract and announcing that publicly would do us wonders in January if Salah does go. So
yes,
you know,
yeah.
I think it's a real priority for us to do that. And you know, from what I understand, he loves West Ham. He loves playing at West Ham. So if you've got a player with the right attitude, he's consistent, he looks after himself, he contributes, and he wants to stay, for fuck's sake, give him what he wants within reason. And I don't know what Sullivan was thinking with Danny Ings. I really don't, because I think it's a well known fact that he was a gift to David Moyes. And I think you're quite right. By doing that, you've got the likes of Bowen and Paqueta and you know, I know he's only just joined, but James Ward-Prowse and all of our top players will be looking at him thinking, well, Ingsy can't even get a game and I'm on 40, 50 grand less and I'm performing 10 times better than he is. So you're always going to create that problem if you sign a player like that. So that is quite a frustrating situation that we found ourselves in, for sure. But you mentioned Souček, and the second goal obviously came from Tom. And he seems to be flourishing without Declan. I mean, what's changed? Because surely it can't be that detrimental playing next to Declan Rice. Is it a case of now we've got Alvarez, he has that license to go forward again? Is it as simple as that?
Yeah, I think this is what it is, really. I think that's the key thing. I think with Alvarez, however you pronounce it, he doesn't tend to get near the penalty box that often, unless it's a corner. He literally just sits in that defensive midfield role and does a great job in it. I mean, he's been a very good signing. I mean, there is one thing with his bookings, and I think that comes up in the final section. But aside from that, he's been a brilliant signing. So he just sits deep, which has now enabled Souček to go much more where he was effective in his first seasons with us, and that's roaming into the penalty area, making his physical presence known, getting on the end of crosses and so on. And I think when Declan was playing, so much was expected of Declan because he was clearly the best player. So it was almost like, you know, just give Declan, let Declan do what he wants to do. He can be up and down. Well, let's get Declan on the ball wherever he is, put Declan all over the pitch. And Souček just got a little bit lost, which is why he never ended up touching the ball that often, because almost Rice took over, so to speak. Declan is a better player than Alvarez, 100%, but the difference is Declan was trying to do everything. So now we've got Alvarez sitting in that role, doing what he is very good at, but just focused on that role. And then Souček, in the role that he's in, just focused on the role that he's got to do. So they understand their roles much better. And I think having Alvarez just sitting there protecting the defence has enabled Souček this licence to roam. And I think that is a massive difference in his performances. And what you've got to think as well, there was talk about he was going to go last year. I think he was quite unhappy. And in the summer prior, not this one just gone, but the one before, you know, there was actually talks that he was going to go either to Germany. I think Newcastle was an option at one point, and he wasn't signing a new deal. And there was, it was a deadlock in terms of his contract. He signed a 4-year deal. I don't know why the club haven't announced it, but he signed a four-year deal. He seems a lot happier in himself. And that's showing in his performances. And yeah, I can't criticise him. It's really, you know, the fact that he's basically keeping Kudos out the side is a testament to how well he's doing. And as I said at the start of the show, if you're looking at Hammer of the Year contenders at this early stage, he would be one of them. And fair play to him. I hold my hands up. I've been one of the biggest critics of the last year or so because I didn't think he did anything. Now he is doing stuff and you can't knock it. You have to acknowledge it.
It's great to see him back at his best. And I mean, there was a few groans when he signed the new contract and maybe that was the reason why the club didn't announce it, because they thought it wouldn't be the most popular decision amongst the fan base, which is a shame. But
You know, I think you've got to love Big Tom. You have. I mean, I love Lurch. I think he's fantastic. I mean, I know, obviously, he had that argument with Martin Allen on Mad Dog Bites that time. You clearly detest him with every fibre of your being. But for me, I've got to love Big Tom. I've got to love him.
No, you know what? I've always maintained, as a person, I absolutely like love him to bits. He's so comical and so, like, yeah, happy and stuff. So, yeah, I've never not liked him as a person. I just felt he wasn't contributing enough to my football team. But actually, I'm happy to admit this season, you know, he's been one of our better players, so credit to him.
Yeah, it's great to see him back at his best. And another player that is in really good form at the moment is Vladimir Šufal, who on Monday, incredibly, celebrates 3 years at West Ham. How would you summarise his time at the club?
I think he's been a very solid right back, a really good signing. You know, we didn't pay too much money for him, did we? And I think he's been brilliant in terms, I think defensively, I trust him. I like him defensively. My biggest criticism's always been his lack of delivery from crosses. But actually, again, to contradict my previous comments, he's got 3 assists recently, I think, and he got one at the weekend as well. They're still floating or passed crosses, which is fine when it works because they're leading to opportunities. So I can't criticise him. I still think there's room for him to mix them up a little bit and get down the wing and whip them in with pace. I still think he doesn't do that quite as much as I'd like him to do, but you can't complain if he's getting an assist, you know, 1 assist every couple of games or so. That's a good ratio for a fullback. And, you know, he's beaten off strong competition for that right back slot, you know. Kehrer plays for the German national team at right back. You know, Ben Johnson was an up and coming prospect at right back. You know, so he's done well to hold on to his spot there. And I think he's good for team spirit. He seems a nice lad. Everyone seems to get on well with him. He seems very professional as well. Comes in, appreciates playing for West Ham, which is always nice to see as well. And yeah, it's, the fact he's getting assists now is adding another element to his game. So yeah, fair play. It looks like the Czech brothers are back in as effective and popular as they were when they won Hammer of the Year and runner up to Hammer of the Year a couple of years ago.
Well, let's hear what the Czech boys had to say after the game. This isn't an impression, by the way. This is the actual common blood.
Okay. I was going to say, how are you going to get two of them? This is going to be interesting.
No, this is what they actually said after the game.
Well, Thomas, Vlad, 2-0 win here today against Sheffield United. No easy games in the Premier League, Thomas. A really resolute win today.
Yeah, sure. Every game is very hard in the Premier League, and every point we have to count. And we are so happy that we got 3 points at home.
Yeah. Vlad, first clean sheet in the Premier League this season. How vital is that?
Yeah, I think it was very important. We finally kept the clean sheet, and with a bit of luck second half because we didn't play well second half. But you know, we have 3 points and clean sheet, and that's all. That's all that matters.
The number 3 keeps coming up today. Thomas, that's your 3rd goal of the season, 2nd this week. Pleased with the finish?
Yes, with this finish I am happy that I could score even with my left foot. But Mickey, I have to say thank you to him because he gave me a great pass. And also I could score even more because I had many headers in the box. But yeah, I'm happy that I just score. And with the goals, what came last 1-2 weeks ago, it's perfect. But the most important is the winning way.
Vlad, does he get many on his left foot in training?
Yeah, he's very good with his left foot, with both feet. So I was very surprised he didn't score. But he keeps scoring, so that's important.
And Vlad, that's 3 assists for you now this season, 3 in the last 3 games. Are you pleased with your return in the last few matches?
With the return, yeah. Nice. Yeah, okay, it's fine. But finally I got assist, and we got victory also, so that's important. And I could have even more assist, but I am very pleased with this one.
Thomas, it's a bouncing back in the Premier League after 2 back-to-back defeats. How important was it to get back to winning ways today?
Very important, because we know that we played quite well, Liverpool well away, and we could win there, but we were then unhappy with the results. But still, it was too difficult match, to lose, we wanted to win, and it was at home. The fans were very good today, they support us, and just happy that we have 3 points from today, and we can get ready for last two games before international.
And Vlad, final one for you. I'm not sure if you know, but on Monday is 3 years as a West Ham player. Where's that 3 years gone?
Yeah, it was very, very quick. You know, time is flying, and I'm 3 years older now. But obviously,
look very young.
Yeah, but obviously very, very pleased with these 3 years. You know, one Conference League. We finished 6th, 7th in the Premier League, 3 years in a row in the European competition. So that's very good. And
thank you, Phil.
Thomas, you welcomed Vlad to West Ham 3 years ago on Monday on behalf of the club. Just how big of a player has he been for us in that time?
Vlad, he's massive now. He's like, since he came, he did very massive things for the West Ham. Now he improved us a lot, because I came, I don't know, 6-7 months before, but when he joined me, it was new West Ham, and as he said, since that time we did very well everywhere in Premier League in Europe. So it's a massive achievement for West Ham, and even for him, and for, I hope that even for our country, should be proud of him.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
One player that has received a lot of praise recently is JWP, rightfully so. But did he get enough after the game on Saturday? Because I have his game stats here, thanks to Dan Woffenden. 95% pass accuracy, 80 touches in total, 12 out of 13 passes completed in the final third, 6 out of 9 crosses completed, which is more than any other player in the game, and 5 chances completed, again, more than any other player. Yet only 2% of patrons voted for him as man of the match. What did you make of his performance?
I think this is the story of his career almost. Like, people seem to think, and I'm not saying this is the case with this vote here, because I think the reason he only got a small percentage was because other players did stand out and did play better. I haven't actually looked at the award. Who won it this week?
Jared.
Did he? Yeah, so that makes sense. Suchek second, Agüero probably, I guess. They're probably up there. I haven't actually looked at it, to be honest with you, so I don't know. But I think the reason he would have had a low percentage was because other players played so well. So it's more of a reflection on them than on him. But since he's been a player, and I'm talking about before West Ham, the whole of his career, which is why I think West Ham fans weren't that keen on signing him. Not all West Ham fans, but obviously a percentage. I think he is known as this set piece like wizard, that, you know, what he does is score amazing free kicks, takes great corners, puts the ball into the box well, and scores penalties and stuff. And I think people almost think that if he didn't have those attributes, he'd just be a very, very, very average footballer. And so they almost overlook the stats and the impact that you're alluding to there. I think his overall play is much better than people let on, and that people that realise. And, you know, he does a very, very solid job in the bits like that, keeping hold of possession, you know, winning the ball, making sure attacks get going. But because they're not match of the day moments, and they're not, you know, wow, look what he did there moments, people almost overlook them and then wait for the next free kick. I mean, if I was to look back on what I remember about Jarrod's performance on Saturday, it stands out. And not Jarrod's performance, sorry, JWP's performance on Saturday, is that I remember he got a free kick just outside the area in the first half. And everyone was like, oh, this is it, this is it, this is it. And I can't remember what happened. I think it hit the wall, maybe. Or it might, no, I think the keeper caught it. Actually, I don't think it was very hard. And And that's all I can remember. And that's because they're the key moments. You think, oh, this is his moment, this is his moment. And you almost tend to overlook what he does outside of that. If he didn't have these, like, you know, Hollywood free kicks and corners and stuff, then I think people would notice his overall contribution more than they do. And I was speaking to... and this player and me were discussing James Ward-Prowse's credentials, and I was really surprised that they, and this is not a West Ham player, this is just a football player, I was really surprised that they didn't seem to think he had, they said he was a good player, but they just thought a good player was what it was, and he wasn't, you know, maybe national team standard or good enough to play for a top six side. And I don't agree. I think he is good enough. I just think he's underrated. And I mean, that's the key word there, that he's been underrated for what else he brings to the team, as opposed to just, you know, noticing all the free kicks and corners.
Yeah, it's good news for us, of course, because it keeps the walls away from the door. And I think he kept the walls away from the door for a long time for Southampton. I think that's
100%, yeah. And that's why no other clubs particularly made a move for him, I think, as well. And because they were like, well, you know, he would have been a good player for Tottenham. Oh, well, we've got Maddison. He can deliver those similar quality. Oh, well, we've got this player that can take good free kicks. We've got this guy that takes good corners. They weren't looking at the overall package. And this overall package of JWP is very good and a great signing for West Ham. You know, the two signings, and even, you know, I think you can say the same in the bits they've played for Kudus and Mavropanos. The four signings that we made with the Declan Rice money have all been brilliant so far, in my opinion. Of course, the latter two haven't had as much opportunity as the first two, but from the bits they've played, they've looked very good as well. And I have confidence that when they are actually in the team, they're going to be great players as well. And we've actually recruited really, really well for that money with Declan Rice. And
that was key.
And I think James Ward-Prowse is key to that. And not only is he a good player, but he's a good person, a good leader as well, which is another quality that might be overlooked at times. You know, he was Southampton's captain for a reason. You know, he's got leadership credentials, and it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, Zuma gets injured, say, which almost inevitably is going to happen at some point this season, then he would take over the armband.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a good shout, mate. And I agree with everything you just said. I mean, for clarity, Jared got the Patreon Man of the Match award with 47% of the votes. Then in second place was Shufal with 22%, followed by his Czech teammate, Big Tom, with 19%.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Those three played very, very well. So that's why he got a low percentage, because they just happened to be slightly more impacts on the game, those three.
Yeah, more of an end product, and that always gets the votes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we saw another cameo from Kudus at times, and there was one clip in particular that is beautiful to watch, almost Messi-esque, when he takes on about three or four players, showing exactly what he can do and what he can bring. He can be explosive, he can be quick, can be skillful. I think we're all excited by him, even before he walked through the door, to be honest. But what point can you see him starting? Or do you think, and this isn't a theory, it's just me thinking out loud, do you think Moisey sat him down and said, look, Mickey is 33 years of age. Jared is currently playing on the right wing. We can see you playing a massive contributing factor in the Premier League. You will start at times, you'll come on at times. You'll be used in every cup competition, including Europe. But as of from next season, our vision is possibly life without Mickey. And we can see us pushing Jared up top with you cementing your place week in, week out in Jared's position on the right wing. Can you see that happening? And if so, how do you feel about that? Because Jared can obviously play both positions, but if you move Jared up top, would you be missing something from him in midfield?
Well, it's an interesting question, because yes, I do think that has been the plan. And you know, in the summer, I reported that that was going to be the plan, that Moyes was going to use Bowen more as a forward, even with Cornet as a possible alternative up front as well. So he was looking at options to Antonio that were already at the club, hence why we probably didn't push too hard to sign someone in January. I mean, we did try and sign a forward, but probably could have got one if we were desperate to get one. And I think the reason is because he does see Bowen as a long-term forward. But to contradict that point a little bit, I know, and I say it in my section, that we are actively looking for a forward. And we've actually started scouting and putting in, like, you know, the early work to narrowing down who we're going to try and go for in January. So it's a bit of a mixed answer, because I think, yes, he does see Bowen able to play up front, but I also think he'll bring in a forward at some point soon to replace Antonio as well. But I think the problem we've got, and it's a good problem to have, is that we've got four very good central midfielders at the moment, and that's Alvarez, Souček, Paquetar and Ward-Prowse, and it's trying to accommodate those four in the team. And then Bowen is obviously brilliant on the wing, but you have two wing spots, and it's just at the moment it seems that it's so hard to drop any other of those central midfielders. Had it been last year, for me, I would have had Souček on the bench immediately and Kudos in the team straight away. Job done. But the problem is Souček's playing so well, it's so hard to drop him now. And then you're left with, do you drop Paquetar? Well, you can't drop him. Do you drop Ward-Prowse? You can't drop him. Do you drop Alvarez? You can't drop him. They're like, you can't drop those four. So it's almost like the strength of midfield has meant that Kudos hasn't been able to get his chance. But every time he's came on and the games he has started, he's shown really good qualities. And one thing I really like about him is that obviously his ability to beat a man makes him exciting. But he doesn't go down very easily either. He tries to stay on his feet, and a couple of times in the games that I've seen, he's taken an absolute beating a couple of times and still tried to remain on his feet, which is a rarity in the modern game now. And I think his time will come. You can tell he's a very, very good player. It's just the fact that the squad's almost, like the midfield particularly, is almost too good at the moment. The only position really you could think of was, like you say, is put Bowen up front and Kudos, and then drop Antonio. But then is Bowen complete enough as a forward? And are you still scoring loads of goals from the wing? So like, you're getting the goals from Jarrod anyway. So it's whether a case maybe you could play Kudos up front. You know, against Sheffield United, there's a bit of a rotation going on between Bowen, Paquetar and Kudos up front. Maybe you could consider playing him there. And actually, if anything, that appeals to me a bit more than Bowen being up front, because I think from what I've seen of Kudos, you know, he's probably slightly quicker than Jarrod, which is going to be close because they're both very fast. He's quite, you know, he doesn't go down very easily, and I think that would be what I might consider as well. But it's a great dilemma to have, and Kudos just got to wait his time. You know, he'll play against Freiburg, I'm sure, but in the league, it's going to be very hard to change that team that played against Sheffield United against Newcastle.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a nice problem to have. And it's a problem that we've not had for a long time, isn't it? And we've always thought, you know, oh God, what could we have achieved this season if we had a bigger squad? And you look at the, you know, the Europa League semi-final, for example, and you think the lads just burnt out. And, you know, you crave that bigger squad with quality, not just people that are making the numbers up, with genuine quality. And we've got that now. And I think that makes it really exciting. So it's going to be interesting tactically to see how we progress with these players. But it is a very nice problem to have. I wanted to ask you about the atmosphere, right? Because I've seen on social media a number of people actually talking quite negatively about the atmosphere at Sheffield United. Now, if you put it into perspective, you know, we've got this big stadium now. We're doing well in the Premier League. We've got the most exciting squad of players I can remember for a long time. We're in Europe. Should the atmosphere be what it is? Should it be better? And the reason I say this, I was at the game at Sheffield United, but for infuriating reasons I can't talk about, I had to leave the game about 20 minutes before the game. So I can't comment on the atmosphere, but what's your take on it? Is there any truth in that, or is it people just stirring shit?
It's a tough question, that. Now, I think what has to be taken into consideration is the journey that a lot of people had prior to getting there. Now that the trains were, you know, striking, there was, I think, the Dartford Tunnel might have been closed perhaps. Obviously that affects Kent supporters or anyone coming from that sort of south area there. And I think, as I said, the trains were a big problem. I know it affected attendance at our event. I know it affected quite a few people, because that's why we were offered quite a few tickets to give away on Patreon for the game. So people had a tough journey to get there.
Yeah.
I think, as wrong as it is to say this, it was expected to beat Sheffield United. So whilst it should be a good atmosphere, when you kind of expect to win, that kind of dilutes the atmosphere a little bit. But I think the journey people had to get there, and that's why people left early. I saw people be like accounts criticising fans for leaving early, and I do sometimes agree. I do think sometimes fans, you know, well, especially those that just want to get to the pub and have a pint a bit quicker than they could before, you know, that can be a bit frustrating. But in this circumstance, when clearly it was going to take them hours to get home, and there was all sorts of troubles to get home, I do understand why people were leaving, particularly when it seemed like, you know, it was a done deal, it was going to be a West Ham win. So I think the atmosphere at times can be needing improvement at the London Stadium, but I think in this circumstance, I think due to what was going on before the game and so on, and people knowing what they'd have to do afterwards, I think that was a big factor in it. And the game was never close, so it was kind of almost like more sit back and watch us win this rather than get behind the boys. So I think fans can be excused for this game.
Well, Saturday saw our first pre-match event at the Colour Factory in Hackney Wick, hosted by Mad Dog, with Ian Bishop as the special guest. I enjoyed our time at the new GaffX, did you?
Yes, I did, mate. I mean, I'm not going to lie, as always with me, there was a lot of pre-match nerves because it was a new venue and, you know, everything's done differently. You don't really know your role until the event actually happens. And at that point, if things like don't go to plan, it's almost, you have to change it right then as it's happening. You can't do it before, but you know going forward each event's going to get better and better. But as far as first time events go at a new venue, I mean, that was our best one in terms of what we like, knowing what we're doing, and in terms of in control of it and so on. So that was great, and yeah, I liked it. Obviously, we've got a meeting in a couple of days, all of us, to discuss how we're going to improve it even further, and we'll continue to do that until we're completely happy with it. But I think for a first one, it was well attended. The atmosphere was great, as always. Martin was a brilliant host. I thought Ian Bishop was a great guest. It's brilliant to work alongside Frankie, who's now involved as well, and he adds a whole new sort of perspective to what you and I would see, and a different perspective and a different way of maybe dealing with things as well. So I think his additions would be great, and actually on the whole, it was a really, really, really good event, and the feedback that I've received certainly is, yeah, people said there's one or two things we can tweak, but on the whole, they absolutely loved it, and things, to quote that famous song, are only going to get better, I think, because we're always striving, you and I, and I know that Frankie's in the same, and Martin as well, similar mindset, to improve everything that we ever do, continually looking for improvement. And with that mindset, things are just going to get better and better and better. And what a guest to have as a second one in John Moncur. I actually was speaking to Martin the other day, and I can't imagine how funny and like crazy that interview is going to be, because the two of them, teammates obviously in the 90s, both absolute nutters, both pranksters, both very funny people. So yeah, it's going to be a great one, and one not to be missed, that's for sure.
Yeah, and as X said, we are back at the Colour Factory next Sunday for an event before the Newcastle game, where it will be John Moncur joining Mad Dog on stage, so God help us all. Tickets are available now to non-patrons, and if you are a patron, as you know, you pay cash on the door at a discounted rate. And
it's important to emphasise that, mate. Sorry, and I know you just had there, but just to reiterate that, it has changed now from patrons buying tickets on the link that we put up. I've removed the link now from the ticket office page. You have to pay on the door. So yeah, please bring cash along for that. It just makes things a lot easier for us in an admin perspective, because we had a couple of people say they were patrons that weren't patrons and so on. So this is just much more clear cut that way. And so we thank patrons for that, but it's just exactly the same as before. Write your name beneath the post I've put on Patreon, whether you want a general admission or a VIP ticket, and put your name down, or it'll come down anyway because you'll write what ticket you want, and job's done. And just bring the cash on the door. Remember to bring ID as well, because they do check ID this new venue, which adds a whole new security level to everyone as well. And yeah, just make sure you do that going forward, patrons. But non-patrons, then there are links for you to get your tickets.
Yeah, and I echo what you're saying as well. You know, going into the unknown of anything is quite nervy. But, you know, there were some teething issues first when we got there because we didn't really know what we was going to walk into. And actually, and people won't notice, we actually walked into fuck all. When we turned up, the venue wasn't even open. And then when we did open it, there was nothing there. And we're like, oh, God, this is kicking off in about an hour and a half. And thankfully, the team of people that are there are shit hot. So whilst we had a bit of a panic on, everything was ready in time, and it was a really, really good event. So I've made quite a few notes myself to bring to the meeting that I think we can improve. And as X said, he's absolutely spot on. That is what we always strive to do, whether it is through Patreon, through the events. We never stop trying to improve and be the best we can be and give our patrons and attendees the best experience they can have. So long live the events, I think, is the message. And we very much look forward to the next one. We also had Lincoln in midweek. It's not the most glamorous.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we did, I know. Yeah. That's what I mean. There's so much to talk about this week.
Yeah.
Like I say, it wasn't the most glamorous of performances, but in a cup competition, surely it's just all about getting a job done, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, mate. You know, we probably made it a bit too hard for ourselves at time against Lincoln, but at the end of the day, it is their cup final. When you go to lower league teams like that, you know, we've a much changed team, so obviously those things always are a factor. And I think at the end of the day, the bottom line is to come out with a win in, you know, normal time. We don't want it to go to penalties because that's a lottery. Although it was just a marginal 1-0 win, I thought most of the game we were in control. You know, we missed it. We missed chances. Danny Ings particularly. There's a couple we should have taken, but we missed chances where we should have. I know we made it. I know Fabianski made a good save and so on, and there was a goal disallowed. But on the face of it, I think we were in control, and that was it. You just needed to go there, get a result, and get out of there. And we've done that. Obviously, got a hard draw next round, but that was the key. Just rotate the squad as much as possible. Make sure the squad was fit to win the weekend and get through to the next round. And we did all of those objectives. We got through to the next round and we won the game at the weekend. So you can't complain. You just put that result behind you now. It's done. The result's in the bag. You're in the next round. Job done. Don't need to overanalyze it too much.
Well, we are in the next round, and fucking typically we get a big team early doors in a competition like this. And at first I was thinking, oh, here we go. Same old, Premier League draw early doors. But then I thought, do you know what? We're at home, we're in form. You know, I've got a lot of belief in this group of boys. And I don't actually know what Team Arsenal are going to put out, because when you look at the competitions that they're in, you would think that this would be the one that had the less priority, wouldn't you? So, I mean, I'm hoping that we could be playing against a weaker side. So whilst initially I was a bit like, oh, for fuck's sake, actually, part of me fancies a result there, you know?
I agree with what you've said. And if you look at the team they put out in their last round, you know, which was against Bournemouth, wasn't it? So like a Premier League game, they put out a much changed team. You know, all their big hitters are on the subs bench. And for us, you know, I think we can challenge anyone at home with our strongest team. It'll see be up to Moyes how strong he makes that team. But I think it's not the end of the world. That draw, if it was away, I'd have been like, oh gosh, I really can't see us getting through that. But being at home, I think we could do it. And you know, if we knock them out, because of the fact there's a lot of non-Premier League ties and non-Premier League teams still left, you know, you'd hope that the next round you might get someone a bit easier in terms of stature. So it's not the end of the world. We're just going to go out in that game and treat that tournament with the utmost respect, because, you know, if West Ham can win that tournament, it might mean nothing to Arsenal, but to West Ham, that'll be our first domestic trophy since 1980. You know, we've never won the League Cup before either. So it's one that would be great for us to win, and I hope Moyes gets the balance correct, because he is going to have to rotate, because both for West Ham and Arsenal, it comes at a horrendous period of games, both in Europe and domestically, so he's got to get the rotation correct. But if he does get it correct, I think we've got a chance, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. Two games this week, Europa League and Premier League. Are you confident about both fixtures?
No, not confidence too strong. I think we can win both games. But I also think we can lose both games, which is a very obvious thing to say, but I think they're quite tough. You know, I don't think people appreciate that Freiburg are a good German side. You know, they're not a nobody. They are a solid French change the nationality now, solid German team. And I think, and German teams are always hard to play against. Obviously, we're going away. We've got no fans there. I mean, there might be a few that sneak in, but on the whole, we haven't got a large allocation of fans because we're banned from it. So that's going to be interesting to see how the players cope without fans there. I would say that's a tough game. I would take a draw out of that if you was to offer me it now. The Newcastle game, I actually feel in a way more confident about, which is the stupid thing because I think we'll have our strongest team out for one. Newcastle have a lot of injuries and suspensions going into that game. I think Gordon's out. I think Botman's out. I think there's doubts over Wilson. I think Joe Linton might be out as well. So they've got a few, what's his face as well? The winger, Harvey Barnes, he's out. So there's quite a few doubts in their squad. And Newcastle, they've played well this season. Obviously, they've battered Sheffield United. But if you look at the league table, they're not doing perhaps as well as some people may have thought they were going to do, and I think we could get a win there. I really do.
Okay, it's that time again.
Calling all West Ham fans, are you a patron of the West Ham Way? If not, why not? For the price of a pint, you get top quality content on a daily basis, to include the famous West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Over 100 interviews with ex-players and celebrity fans. Mad Dog Bites with Martin Allen. A show with Tony Cotty. The U Irons podcast. The West Ham Way USA. A transfer window show with Demis Sheff. And expert pre-match analysis. There are virtual events with ex-players, written articles, match day discussion, away day burger reviews, in-depth match reports, and if you want to be the first to get reliable, accurate, exclusive news on all club affairs, you'll get exactly that from the best ITK in the business, ex-West Ham United employee. All that and more delivered to your phone for a fiver a month. It's the daddy.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.